Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Menachah is Daf Samach Gimel. We begin at the Mishnah right on top. Back to the various types of Menachahs. We know there are five types. One is called Soilus, Machvas, that's the one that's fried in a Machvas frying pan, as we're going to see in a minute. We have the Marcheshes, a different type of fry. Then we have something called Ma'afei Tanur, which is sort of an umbrella label encompassing two subsets. One is called Chalais, one is Rekikin. The Chalais have oil within them. The Rekikin have the oil smeared on top of them after baking. So in this mission we're going to discuss the difference between the Machvas and the Machreshes. In the next mission we're going to discuss the Ma'afei Tanur. Says the Mishnah, Omer Harei Lai B'Machvas. So in contrast to a Minchas HaSoilus, which is not fried, this one's going to be fried. And he's promising, he's committing, he's pledging to a Machvas. Lo Yavi B'Machreshes. He must bring a Machvas. He can't switch to a Machreshes, even though they're similar in type. But each one is distinct and is treated, you know, separately. On the other hand, if he commits to a marcheshes, he says, I'm going to bring the marcheshes. Well, you have the machvas. He can't do the machvas. What's the difference? Ma bein machvas, marcheshes. What's the practical difference between the two? There it is like this. Marcheshes, yesh lo kisui. So minchas marcheshes is processed in a frying pan, which has a cover. It's covered, so it retains its moisture and it's more of a oily type of consistency. Machvas ein lo kisui, as opposed to a machvas, which is exposed, it's open, it has no cover. Divrei Rabbi Saglili, that's his opinion. So he learns it's simply a difference of open or closed. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Rabbi Chanina disagrees. He says, actually, it's a totally different configuration. A marcheshes is done in a deep frying pan, amuka, it's a deeper pan. Because it's deep fried, the material within it is reichesh. Rashi says reichesh means like a crawling creature, remes, which is translated as rachshin in the Targum. So it's moving around, it's more oily, it's as opposed to the machvas, that's tzafa. Rashi says Safa means it's not a deep, not a deep frying pan. It's more of a shallow frying pan. In which case, it dehydrates, right? It gets firmer. So the material within it is more firm, is harder, is less hydrated. Okay, so we have two definitions. According to Rabbi Saglili, it's about covered or uncovered. According to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, deep fried or regular fried. My time with Rabbi Si, where does Rabbi Si get this definition? The marcheshes means covered and concealed versus machvas, which is open and exposed. Ilei marcheshes is because the word marcheshes indicates that the mincha is coming to accommodate the asi, it's coming archush alev to accommodate improprieties that stem from the heart, improper thoughts or notions. K'dechsev, as we find in the pasuk. Rochash, libi davar toiv, so the heart is roichesh. It generates these concealed internal, you know, forces. And that's what the marcheshes is coming to be machaper on, improper thoughts. And therefore, it makes sense that marcheshes means it's covered. It's covered, concealed, and it's coming to accommodate something which is covered and concealed. On the other hand, the machvas is open and exposed. Because machvas, the asher machbuya pet, it's coming to accommodate, to atone for openness, expressions, verbalizations. Kedam Rinches, people call speaking manbach nebuchi. You know, he expressed it, he verbalized it. So we see manbach nebuchi and machvas are similar terms. Hence, machvas is an exposed process. If you know, we can find psukim that go the other way around. Perhaps machvas means a covered pan. The astya amach buya lev is coming to accommodate for the hiddenness in the heart. Chesiv, as we find the pasuk that this lashon refers to something hidden. Tichsev lamech beisel levroyach. Yaakovinu was chastised by Lavan, a Rasha. Why? Why'd you sneak away? Nachbeisa, Rashi says, Tmuna, hidden. He did it in a concealed, hidden way. So perhaps Machbas is coming to atone for concealment, for improper concealed thoughts. Marcheshes, the Asya Aruchoshet. Just the opposite. Marcheshes is coming to Yomachaper for speech. Rashi says, like Rechilus, you know, things like that. Lashon Hara. Kedam Rinches, people refer to speech in this term. Have a Marachshas Vasa. His lips were mumbly, were moving. So Marcheshes is referring to verbalizations. Says the Gemara, okay, so we're sort of swinging back and forth. We're not really sure. Ella, rather, Gemara, Gemira, Yana, tradition of Kabbalah from his Rabbeim, that in fact, this is the correct definition. This is what the Torah had in mind. So, Archeshes means covered with a lid. Machvas means open and exposed. Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel Omer, he learns a bit differently. He says the Archeshes is a mukkah, it's a deeper frying pan. The chsib, as a pasuk, refers to it as a v'chol nasa bim Archeshes. It's processed inside, and has an interior, as opposed to a machvas, which is a more flat surface. Tzofa, the chsib ba'al mach, on top of the mach, so it's on it, over it. There is a very little interior to speak of. Now, either way, we're not really 100% sure. So we know Marcheshes means deeper fried, and Machvas means more of a shallow fry. But let's just break it down further. The actual word, Marcheshes, is it describing the actual tool, you know, the pot, the frying pan? Or perhaps describing the process? It's a deeper fry, a more shallow fry. And what would be the difference? The Gemara will explain to us. Fine, if he says, I'm bringing a minchas machvas, then it's clear he's bringing a minchas machvas, whatever machvas means. Is it the actual frying pan or the process? Or if he says, harei elai, you know, bim machvas, again, either it's something which is done in a machvas or something which is processed in a machvas fashion. But let's say he says, I'm going to bring machvas. Okay? So that really depends what machvas means. Is it the actual kli? Then forget about the mincha. He has to donate the actual kli. Is machvas describing the process? Then fine. Harela machvas means a mincha which is processed accordingly. That's going to be the shayla coming up now. Tana rabbanan. Misham ve'emrim. Ha'emer ha'reelai marcheshes. He says, I'm going to bring marcheshes. What happens now? We're not sure. Hey, munach, that money is set aside until Yo Navi comes and explains to us what this term means. Taisa says that we're talking that he declared in his pledge, I'm going to do as the linguistic experts tell us. Okay? So we're not really sure what exactly it means. So you have to put it aside. Mesapkel, because the Chachamim are now unsure. Iyal shum kli nikru. These terms, machvas, machveshes, is it a descriptive term of the kli? Hence, in this case, when he's promising a marcheshes, he'll bring this type of frying pan and donate it to the Beis HaMikdash. Oyal shum asin. Perhaps the terms, machvas, machveshes, are describing the process, the frying process. Now when he says, I'm bringing machvas, I'm bringing marcheshes, likewise, he's bringing a mincha, which goes through this process, not the actual kli. So that's Bishamai's sort of dilemma. Bishilo, dilemma was clear that it's actually the kli. Bishilo, I mean, kli ha'yiv ha'migdash, or marcheshes shmad, it was actually a kli, it was called marcheshes, and it looks like this interesting looking frying pan. V'domik min kalbus amok. Kalbus is like a plier, it's like a clip, like a U-shaped, almost like a horseshoe. And this was a hollow horseshoe with place inside, a deep, you know, hollowness inside for this frying process. Kalbus amak, a deep type of frying pan. When you put the place the material, the dough, so on the bottom, for some reason, it had these indentations, like these ball-shaped indentations on the floor of this frying pan. So your product will come out looking in a way like has these balls sticking out of it on the bottom. Doimik miktapuche barsi makaris, like these apples from kar, ukumim blute yvonim, these blute gallnuts, like these roundish designs on bottom. Boimer. In fact, says Bishilel, I'll prove to you that these terms are descriptive of the actual kli. V'chol nasa b'marcheshes v'al machvas. Alma shumakel nikru, says you do it in the marcheshes, you do it on the machvas. So clearly it's the kli, v'loi, rather than al shuma same, than the actual process. So in this case, when he promises a machvas, he's going to give a machvas to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we covered machvas and marcheshes. Difference is covered or uncovered. Deeper or shallow fried, and by machlokes, whether the word machvas and macheshes is descriptive of the kli or of the process. We're not sure. According to Bishan, we're not sure. Okay, now we move on to the Mafia Tana. He promises, Harei Alai B'Tana. We're going to bring a mincha which is baked. So that's the Mafia Tana. Now it has to be baked in an actual oven. Not in some improvised baking process. Lo yavi mafi kupach. He can't bring something which is baked in a kupach, which is a small mini oven, which only has place for one pot. Tanner is a larger, proper oven. Lo mafi ra'af, nor baked on some sort of hot shingles. Mafi yeris aravim, or baked in some sort of big vat the Arabs use, whatever. Rabbi the Omer Ratzah, maybe mafi kupach. He says a kupach is close enough to an oven, it works. Now, we discussed that a mafet tanner is really comprised of two variations. You can bring chalais, you can bring rakikin. Now, typically, a mincha is comprised of 10 units, 10 of whatever you're bringing. Question, can you mix and match? Can I do 5 chalais and 5 rakikin? Or does it have to be 10 chalais or 10 rakikin? We have machlekes. Rabbi, harelai minchas mafet. Fellow commits to minchas mafet. Lo yabi mechza chalais. Or mechza rakikin, you can split them up 50-50. Has to be 10 of one or the other. Shimon Aymer, you can split it up. Shimon Matar, you can mix them up. Because in the Pasuk, you find that the word carbon, singular, carbon, refers to both types. Apparently, they're all elements within the same package, and you could sort of mix them up. Tanur Rabbanan. So back to the beginning of the Mishnah, Mafi Tanur means it has to be an actual oven. B'lei Mafi Kupach, B'lei Mafi Ra'afim, B'lei Mafi Yeras Arabi. Rabbi the Omer says no, kupach works. In fact, it says tanner twice, tanner to add shnei pam lahachsha to allow even a mafi kupach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he goes like the Tanakam, it has to be an actual oven. Tanner shnei pamim. So why does the Torah repeat it twice? Echad shnei afiyasim betanner. One, to teach that it has to have an actual oven bake process. Echad shnei hekdeshim betanner. Secondly, and this is what the Gemara thinks at this point, Shem is teaching that the actual kedusha, where the material gets upgraded, it's considered kedusha saguf, inherently kaddish, carbon material, that has to take place in the oven, which assumingly is a kli shoris, a holy vessel. And that's what the pasuk is telling us, that the kedusha takes place in the tanner. Really? That seems to be inconsistent with Rav Shimon elsewhere, who says that, no, the tanner was not a kli shoris. It was just a regular oven. The kedusha didn't get activated in the oven. Umisle Rav Shimon ha'isvara? Is it true that Rav Shimon holds that the tanner would activate the kedusha on the bread? But now we have a Mishnah. You should be accustomed to learning to saying like this, that upon the breads that are required for the Mikdash can be baked in the Azorah, Ksheiras Ba'Azorah, Ksheiras can also be baked outside, Beis Pagi, a place which is outside the Azorah. So clearly, Kedusha did not happen during the baking process. Amarava, Ema, Sheikdesh, Shum Tanner. Certainly, the Tanner itself did not need to be Kaddish. However, Shimon is merely telling us that the Pasuk is teaching that Tanner has to be part of the program. It has to be his intention. When he's magdash the flour, he has to stipulate, I'm doing this to bake it in a proper oven. That's the part of the preparation. So now we're going to sort of go through the pasuk describing the minchas mafi tanner word by word. So the pasuk says like this: v'chisakriv karban mincha mafi tanner soilas chalos matzois. Belulis b'shemen. So that's the first type, chalais, that are mixed with oil. And then we have the second type of rukikim matzis, v'shuchem b'shemen. Now the pasuk begins with the word carbon, which is a singular, refers to both types as one single entity. On the other end, we find sort of a split in the pasuk. Soilos, chalais, matzis, belulis b'shemen, one thing, and then rukikim matzis, v'shuchem b'shemen, second type. Okay, tanur rabbanan, chitakriv, if you should choose to do the akrava, chitakriv. It's up to you. Last is davar reshus. Look, it's a voluntary, uncoerced mincha. Okay, kavra mincha. Amar Yehuda, minayin. What do we learn from there? Minayin lo imar elai minchas mafe. Okay, how do we know if a person gets up and says, I'm going to bring minchas mafe, a baked mincha? You can't mix them up. Shlo yavi mechzu chalus, mechzu rekikin. Can't do 50-50, breads and crackers. Tamal lema karma mincha. The pasuk calls it one thing. You can only do one type at a time. Carbon echad amar tilach. You can only do one type. You can't mix 2-3 different types. I'm going to Rishim, just the opposite of Rishim. I'll use the same pasuk to go the other way. Mechidama carbon shnei pam. Does the pasuk say carbon twice? We're on other base. Loi nemar el carbon echad. Only says the word carbon once. If it would say it twice, I wouldn't understand. It's two separate, distinct packages, but it says it only once on both types. Whenever by chalas, rukikin, the puzzle continues and describes the two types. Mi'ata, hence, says Rav Shimon, I go the other way. Just the opposite. Torah is teaching us. You can mix them up. It's all one package. Ratza, you can decide to bring Lavi Chalis, all 10 Chalis. Maybe, yeah. Decides to bring all 10 Rikikin, maybe you can do that. Decides to do 50-50, Mechza Chalis, Mechza Rikikin, that's also an option. Maybe, Ubaylan, then he has to mix them up. Rashi explains that he would chop them up and crumble them up and then do mixing with oil and then do the Kmitza. So he takes whatever he has, part chalais, part rikikin, mix them up. Ubaylun becomes mishneim, does a kmitza on both, so to speak, from the whole mix. And it doesn't really matter what he came up with. It became one package anyway. If he happens to pick out a kmitza, you know, so happens to be that he lands some matzis and not the. It's okay. It goes on both. It's all one package. Okay, so clearly there's a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda says, you got to do 10. Of each at a time, you can't mix them up. Rabbi Shimon says you can mix them up. Rabbi Yasi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, Rida Omer, he goes with like his father, he has a different source. From where do we learn that if a person commits to Minchas Mafi, he can't mix them up? So you have the pasuk like this. So the pasuk sort of relates to all the menachas here. The Mafi Tanur, then V'chalnasib Marcheshes, and then the mechas machvas that we discussed before, la koyin, a makrav oisalesia, goes to the koyin. Then the next pasuk has different types of menachas. We have the one with oil, the one without oil for the choyte, right? V'chal mincha belula b'shem, the one mixed with oil. V'chareve, the one that's dry, the one for the sinner. Again, l'chol b'nei arantia, it's given to b'nei arantia, to the kohanim. So we find the term v'chol upstairs in the beginning of the pasuk, discussing the mafi tanner. We have later on v'chol regarding the dry and the wet mincha, right? The one with the oil, one with the yad. So we compare notes. Ma v'chol amar lamata shnevin chaluk. Just like v'chol later on in the pasuk refers to two different distinct types, one with oil, one without, that are sort of totally separate different types. Af likewise, the term v'chol amar lamata, which is upstairs in the pasuk, referring to the mafi tanner, which technically has two parts, two types. Shnei min chaluk. These are two separate distinct entities. You can't mix them up. So he arrives at the same conclusion as his father, just from a different pasuk. No, Rav Yehuda, Shaper, Kamar Rav Shimon. Let's go back to the beginning of this of our discussion. Rav Shimon pointed to the Lashon Karvan, which leads into the two types of menachis. Sure, it starts with karvan, but it then explains to you this type and that type. Apparently, both types are covered by the word karvan. It's an umbrella term to both types. You can mix them up. What does Rabbi Yehuda respond to that? Rabbi Yehuda Shaper, come Rabbi Shem seems to be presenting a proper argument. Amalach, Rabbi Yehuda would respond like this. Given the chesed Hashem, Hashemen. If you look closely in the pasuk, we find the word Hashemen twice. First, it says Chalais Matzis Beluyis Hashemen, one type, and then it goes on Rukiki Matzis Bishach Hashemen. So that split Hashemen here, Hashemen here, clearly indicates that these are two separate, distinct packages, not meant to be mixed with each other. Since it says b'shem and b'shem twice, k'mad achsev carbon carbon dam, it's like it would say carbon twice. That's two separate, distinct, unmixable entities. Okay, Reb Shimon, he responds, no, he looks b'shem and b'shem. I'll tell you why it says b'shem and twice. If not, I would think just the opposite. Davka mechzer chalas or mechzer rikikin. You have to mix them up 50-50. You have to do half chalas, half rikikin, as per my inference in the pasuk. It says carbon, referring to both types. Perhaps both elements have to be present in the package. But let's say he decides to do just 10 chalas, or just 10 rikikin. Can he do so? Avol chalas luchudayu on its own, or rikikin on its own luchudayu. But perhaps he can't even do that. It's not even an option. Kamashman comes to the pasuk and says, you know what? Don't go that extreme. Chalas b'shemen, rikikin b'shemen. You know, after all, there are two separate things, and you can choose to bring them on their own 10 of just chalas or of just. Okay, one more question. Rabbi Yisi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Avu, he's pretty much mirroring, he's just echoing his father's opinion. Is there any difference between the two opinions? It came from a different pasuk. Does that lead us to a different conclusion? They both seem to say the same thing. You can't mix them up. There is a slight difference. All agree you shouldn't do it, but let's say he did it. So it depends. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who based his shita on the term carbon, okay, so the Torah is telling us you meant to bring separately 10 of this or 10 of that. You shouldn't be mixing. But let's say he does mix it. It passes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's based on a pasuk, which compares it. So two types of menachas, one with oil, one without. The menachas chayta, we know over there, if you mix them up, you put oil in menachas chayta, we had the Gemara earlier, right? Lo yosma le'oshem, and it makes it possible. So a mix-up in that context is critical. Right? It's fatal. Likewise, when it comes to chalas and rekikin, if you mix them up, it's possible. Okay, hadron lach kalam menachas. Let's just recap quickly. We have a mission describing the machvas and macheshes. We have a mission describing the mafei tanur. It's meant to be done in a proper oven, according to Rido, even a kupach passes. What about combining chalas and rekikin? We have machlekes. According to some, it's okay. According to some, it's not okay. According to some, it's actually critical. Says the Mishnah, the new parak, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Omer, okay, we shift to Minchas Omer, which is offered on the 16th day of Nisan, made of barley. It opens the door for consumption of the new crop. Okay, Omer Yibab is Shabbos. Mishalish Sin. So the Omer is comprised of an Isarin, right? A certain amount of flour, of soilus, of fine flour. Any difference whether it's done on Shabbos or the weekdays? You can do it even on Shabbos. It's Doicha Shabbos, a public offering. Says Rabbi Shmuel, there's a difference. If it's on Shabbos, minimize the effort. Minimize malachites. So you come up, you start with a smaller amount. You're going to have to sift, you're going to have to harvest, but use a smaller amount to achieve same results. You might have to work harder, sift it a bit better, but better to be mamayit, just minimize the malachis and the harvesting and the cutting and all. So Eimer, if it's Shabbos, Mishalashin, you derive the required amount of flour from three sa'ah. But if it's during the week, you can do unlimited. So you do it five sa'ah, which gets you a better, and easier. It's easier to achieve the same result, to get the same high quality flour with less work. So b'chol it's five sa'ah. On Shabbos the starting point is three sa'ah. B'chacham Oimrim, it doesn't matter weekday or Shabbos, echad Shabbos v'echad chol m'sholosh ha'yibah, starting point is three sa'ah. They hold that you can achieve the same results whether it's three, whether it's adequate. You don't have to add more. Rabbi Chanin is kana kanam Oimrim. There's another difference between Shabbos and weekday regarding the Oimer. But Shabbos, if it was done on Shabbos, you have to harvest it on Shabbos, fine. But it's done low-key. B'yachad, one cutter, b'magal echad, using one sickle, b'kubachas, one container. U'b'chol, during the weekdays, it was made into a national event. Rashi says, in order to undo the opinion of the Bais Susim, you know, the Tztukim, who gave him trouble, they insisted that the Oimer has to be done on a Sunday only. So in order to counter that erroneous position, they would publicize it, everybody would know about it, and this way would become established as the proper practice. So during the weekdays, it was a holy event. There were three men involved in harvesting, three containers, three sickles. They hold that even on Shabbos, you have the same event, three individuals doing it. Okay, let's go back to the first item in the Mishnah. What's the starting point? Chacham say, three saw, which gets you the yisarein as required. So, Bishlam and Rabbanah, I understand the Rabbanah, because however they hold, yisarein bavchar mishlash yisin asi, or mishlash yisin asi, you can get a proper yisarein, a high quality flour, from sifting three saw. So it doesn't really matter if it's Tuesday or Shabbos, you do use the same ratio, the same proportion, lashna b'chav, lashna b'shabbos. So we don't differentiate. El rishmoy, like a savo. But how do we understand Rabbi Shmuel? If you hold Isorim Mufchor, to get a proper, high quality Isorim, you need five to start. Then why would you cut corners on Shabbos? The point is to get a proper carbon, which is allowed on Shabbos. If you can actually produce the same result from using less, from just three saw, as you see he's insisting on Shabbos, you go down to three saw, then do the same during the weekday. Why would you want to add more work? Amar Rava. Here's the answer. Because Rabbi Shmuel holds, Isorei Mufchar B'lei Tircha Asi Mechamesh. True, we're going to get to the same result. Depends how much work do you want to do, how much sifting are you going to have to do. So a proper, high-quality Isorei, without extraneous effort, you can get that from five Sa'ah. You start with a large amount, so it's easy just to get the best easily and move on. Asi Mechamesh B'Tircha. Asi Mechamesh B'Tircha. But with more investment, with more tircha, asim ishalash, you can get it from just three. You're going to work harder. So b'cha, during the weekdays, why work? My sinan mechamash. Nachi shvichem also. Get just, do the standard, do five. Which gets you the best results, right? Do a little sift, and you get the high quality flakes, right? But on Shabbos, we want to try to minimize the malachis, the harvesting and all that. So we sort of were restricted. Shabbos, mutav shiyar malacha achas on Shabbos. We prefer that he increases in one malacha, which is sifting. He sifts longer and more, barakada in the sifting process. While yar malachis harb, as opposed to increasing the type, the amount of malachis. Because if he's going to do more grain, he's going to do more ktsira, right? More harvesting, more winnowing, more all that, more grinding, right? So he says better start with a small amount, work harder, do more sifting, which is an increase in the malacha achas, rather than going to a larger amount, which inevitably involves malacha is harbe. Okay, interesting machlekes. So again, we have this machlekes regarding how much do you start off with to get the isarim. According to Rabbanan, standard three so, whether it's weekday or Shabbos, they hold that you can get the proper results. According to Shmuel, it's better to start with five. But on Shabbos, we remind the malacha is harbe, hence, sholos in and you work harder to get yourself the isarim for the minchas hayomer. Okay, we'll pick it up, Ezer Hashem, tomorrow. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabba.